We're going to skip a little bit this week. We're going to move on to Simen Yud Beis in the Sefer HaTzvi. We will go back to Simen Ches, which is where we were up to, but I just didn't have time to look it over, so we're going to do Simen Yud Beis, which is a little more familiar to me. The Rishonim of Machlokas about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, what the level of Kedusha Beis HaKnesses has. The Sheet of the Ramban, quoted by the Rana Maseches Megillah, is that a Beis HaKnesses has a din of Tashmishei Mitzvah, just like Sukkah, like Lulav, and the rule by Tashmishei Mitzvah is you use something for a Mitzvah, once the Zman of that Mitzvah is over, you can throw it out. Tashmishei Mitzvah, L'achar Zman Mitzvasan, are Nizrakin. And during the Zman of the Mitzvah, though, you certainly have to treat it with a certain level of respect. The Gemara says that Noi Mitzvah are also the Stavik Man, Kol Shiva, you're not allowed to use the Noi Sukkah even throughout the 7 days of Sukkot, the decorations, because they're designated dafka for that mitzvah. And that's what the Ran writes in Masechta Shabbos as well with regard to Neros Chanukah, that even though the Tashmisha mitzvah lachas man mitzvasan are nizrakin, b'shas mitzvasan you have to be noig ben kedusha. During the time that they're still being used for the mitzvah, you have to treat them with a certain level of kedusha. The Ramban in Masechta Shabbos and Perikira and the Mechamos of the four Parakabetza tells us that it's not just that there's a sense of kavod and dignity, but a kedusha that's chal for Kol Shiva. It has a din of Tashmisha Mitzvah Bizman Mitzvasan. That is one Shita in Rishonim. The other Shita in Rishonim is the Shita of the Ran himself. The Ran, writing about this Ramban, says, Ein Dvarav Berurim Etzli. I do not find his words to be correct. They are not clear to me. And therefore, he says, in my opinion, Beis HaKnesses, since it's primarily made to say Dvar Mishah B'Kedusha in it, the Chachamim treat Beis HaKnesses as Tashmishei Kedusha and not Tashmishei Mitzvah. And not only that, Chayyadim goes on to say that Chayyadim Chal Yud Zayin, in the name of the Sefer Yireim, that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is the Oraisa, and we have a mitzvah of Mora Migdash in the Beis HaKnesses, and that mitzvah of Mora Migdash is a mitzvah Minat Torah, even when practiced in the Beis HaKnesses, and not the Beis HaMikdash. And that's how the Medayik from the Rambam as well, that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is Dor Raisa. How can you be Medayik that way in the Rambam? What does the Rambam say? Because in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in the Minya Mitzvos, in the Minya Mitzvos at the beginning of the Yad HaChazakah, the Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah, Shalol Abe Beis HaMikdash, O Batei Kinasios, O Batei Midrashos. One is not allowed to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, or shuls, or batei medrash. Shnamar beit habdun and lo sasim ken l'Hashem Elokeichem. You're supposed to destroy batei avodah zarah, and you're not allowed to do that l'Hashem Elokeichem. And that's based on the Gemara in Maseches Megillah Daf Chav Tes that darshins pasuk in Yecheskel v'ilam l'mikdash ma'at. So these Rishonim hold, like the Ran, that Beis HaKnesses has a din of Tashmishei Kedusha, not like the Ramban, that it's just Tashmishei Mitzvah. No, it's Tashmishei Kedusha. The only difference is the Ran says it's Tashmishei Kedusha midrabanan. These Rishonim say, the Rambam and others, that it's and the Yireim, that it's Tashmishei Kedusha Mida Oraisa, that it has the din of Mikdash itself. So it emerges that there are three Shitas of the level of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. There's the Shita of the Ramban, that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is a din of Tashmishei Mitzvah. There's the Shita of the Ran, that no, it's higher, it's Tashmishei Kedusha, but only Drabanan. And then there's the Rambam and the Yireim, that it's Tashmishei Kedusha, but even Mida Oraisa, that the Isser of destroying a Mikdash applies to a Beis HaKnesses as well. Now, what is this notion of Mikdash Ma'at? What does that mean? Something is like a little Beis HaMikdash. What do you mean? It either is a Beis HaMikdash or it's not a Beis HaMikdash. What makes a shul a little Beis HaMikdash, a mini Beis HaMikdash? So if Salvechik explained, the whole idea of Mikdash Ma'at is that both the Mikdash and the Beis HaKnesses serve the same basic function. And that function is to serve as a meeting place between God and man. Where does God meet man and man meet God? When there's a Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaMikdash, and also in Batei Knesios. But There's a fundamental difference between the two. In the Beis HaMikdash, it's the Beis Hashem. Yes, we're meeting God, but we're meeting God in His house. As opposed to, in the Beis HaKnesses, it's our house. We're meeting God, but God is coming to our house. That's why it's called a Mikdash Ma'at. It's a Mikdash in the sense that it serves as a place of meeting between man and God, but Ma'at, because we're not going to God, God is coming to us. And he says, that's what Rava means in Maseches Brachos Tav Samach Gimel. When he says, Ki Beiso, you have to treat the Beis HaKnesses like your house. Ma Beiso, Akapadaryo Kapadinish, Arkiko Minalo Kapadinish, just like in your house, you would not be happy if someone made your house into a shortcut. You see a guy walking through your living room. Hey, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm sorry, it's just the quickest way to get from that side of the street to the other side of the street. Seemed to be right. No, you'd be pretty upset about that. You would stop that. A kapadaria kapadinish. Person is makbid about that. But our akiko mina lo kapadinish. You invite a guest over. They're allowed to keep their shoes on. You don't mind if they spit on the floor. Back in the days when they had dirt floors. Now we might be a little more makbid about it. But you wouldn't mind if they spit on the floor. So that's why in the Beis HaKnesses, the same thing is going to apply. Why? Why do we compare Beis HaKnesses to what you would mind or would not mind in your house? So apparently, the reason we make that comparison, says our Salvechik, is that the Beis HaKnesses has a din of your house, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit you. By Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to wear shoes. You're not allowed to spit in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a higher level, because that's the Beis Hashem. That's where we're going to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is the notion of Mikdash Ma'at. Rav Shachter points out, the Mishra Berurah in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph in the Shaar Tzion Os Tezvav writes that those people that are makbid in their houses, even on rakika, even on spitting, so in the Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, it would be also for them to spit as well. I mean, you have to treat it with the same dignity, the same respect that you would treat your house. And the Mechaber over there writes that if you have mud on your feet, you have to clean off your feet. You know, if you go to someone's house and you just walk through the mud and you have mud all over your shoes, you wouldn't just trample on right through their house. You would wipe off your feet by the doorstep. That's why they make those nice mats that you can clean your feet off. And if you can't get it off, you take off your shoes, but you would no way would you track mud through it. And therefore, if Salvechik pointed out that during the winter, when there's a lot of snow on the ground in New York, so we should go, and a lot of people wear some sort of rubbers or galoshes over their shoes, you can't just walk into the Beis HaKnesses with galoshes on your, or rubbers covering your shoes, because you wouldn't walk into someone else's house that way. You would take off the boots and put on regular shoes at the door. So you should treat the Beis HaKnesses the same way you would treat someone's house. So if you're going to wear these big, massive boots or something that you wouldn't walk around in someone's house with, and you have to be at someone's house, you'd bring a separate bag with regular shoes. So then it would turn out, Lemaisa, that one should do the same thing for a Beis HaKnesses. Now, we pointed out this machlokas, that is a Beis HaKnesses tashmishei mitzvah, or is it tashmishei kedusha? And we know the halachic difference between them. Tashmishei mitzvah, once the mitzvah is over, what do you do with your lulav after Sukkot is over? You throw it out. You throw it out in a respectful way, but you throw it out. It's nizrakim. You can discard it after the time of the mitzvah. Tashmishei kedusha, what do you do when your mezuzah gets worn out, when your tefillin get worn out? No, you're not allowed to throw it out. It's tu'unim geniza. You need to put it in Sheamus. What's the How do I know which items to identify as tashmishei mitzvah and which items to identify as tashmishei kedusha? So the Gemara Maseches Megillah gives us a partial list. The Gemara Megillah says, "Ve'elu ein tashmishei mitzvah." You want to know an example of tashmishei mitzvah? Sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis. Oh, and you want examples of tashmishei kedusha? Dulus kimei svarim, tefillin, mezuzos, tikshel sefer Torah, nartikshel tefillin, the bottom of your tefillin, the covering of the sefer Torah, all of these types of things. What's the difference? All of these things sound like they are accessories of mitzvos. What makes some of them tashmishei mitzvah and others tashmishei kedusha? So what it must be, says Rav Shachter, is that all kedusha emanates from the kedusha satorah. So if you look at the list of tashmishei kedusha, sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzah, and those accessories that are associated with those items, those are Tashmishei Kedusha. You know why? Because all of those things have actual Psav Shel Torah. There's actual Torah writing. Or they're Meshamish Ksav Shel Torah. But Sukkah, Lulav, Shofar, Tzitzis, there's no Ksav Shel Torah. There's no actual Torah writing on those things. So that's why they only have the status of Tashmishei Mitzvah and not Tashmishei Kedusha. In a footnote, of Shachter points out that this is based on the notion that the source of all Kedusha in the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'ata Kadosh v'Shimcha Kadosh. And, as we've pointed out many times in the past, the Ramban writes in his Hakdama to his commentary on the Torah, that Kol HaTorah Kula Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire Torah is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is called the Mashal HaKadmoni. It is the Mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Kadmono Shel Olam. And Bnei Yisrael are Kadosh because we learn Torah. And we therefore gain a knowledge on some level of Elokus. And that and the Torah becomes part of us, and that's what makes us Kadosh. So all Kedusha emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Hashem's Torah. And based on that idea, says Rav Shachter, now we can understand the difference between a Jewish body and a non-Jewish body. A person dies. The halacha is there's a mitzvah of kvura for a Jew. There's no mitzvah of kvura for a Nachri. That's why there's no Isra of Halanas HaMeis by a Nachri. If you leave a body unburied, a Nachri's body unburied, that's not a violation of any Isra, because the Halanas HaMeis relates directly to the mitzvah of Kvura. However, if Shachter points out in a footnote that the Rabban al HaTorah in Parshas Kisetzeh understands that in Eretz Yisrael there's a chi of Kvura even on Meisei Akum, because we're not allowed to have Tumah in Eretz Yisrael, so we have to get rid of the Tumah, so there's a mitzvah Kvura on Meisei Akum, even on Meisei Akum in Eretz Yisrael, which he points out, L'chora is a problem for medical students in Eretz Yisrael, because they use cadavers, and you say, okay, use non-Jewish cadavers, but that helps in Chutz La'aretz, where there's no Israel of Alanis HaMeisen, there's no mitzvah Kvura. But in Eretz Yisrael may not help as much. But again, why is there a difference between a Guf Nachri and a Guf Yisrael? Because the Guf of a Nachri has a din of Tashmishei Mitzvah. So while the Nachri is alive, he's able to do the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, he's involved in a mitzvah, so you have to have dignity, you have to have a certain respect for it. Tashmishei Mitzvah, Bizman Mitzvah Son, have a certain amount of Kedusha. But Li'achar Zman Mitzvah Son, once the mitzvah's over, he can't do mitzvahs anymore. He's dead, Nizrakim. But a Guf Yisraeli, a Jewish body, is Tashmishei Kedusha. And therefore, even after he dies, it's like a Pasul Mezuzah, it's like an old Sefer Torah. So the halacha is nikbarin, nignazin, it has to be buried. Why the difference? Why? You think it's because the Nachri only has 7 mitzvahs and we have 613 mitzvahs? No, it can't just be a numbers game, because then there should be different halachos for dead Kohanim than there are for dead Yisraelim, and different halachos for dead men than there are for dead women. No, it's not just a numbers game of how many mitzvahs are you chayev in. It's a fundamental difference that a Guf Yisrael who learns Torah has a chalos shame Tashmishei Kedusha. But a Guf Nachri, even though he does 7 mitzvahs, but he's not Osek in Torah. Not just that he's not Osek in Torah, he's not allowed to be Osek in Torah. Torah Tziva Lana Moshe Marasha Kilas Yaakov Al Tikri Marasha Elema Orasa. It's like an Eshes Ish. It's not there for a Nachri. And therefore, Le'achas Man Mitzvaso, the Guf Nachri is Nizrakin. And that's how Rav Salvechik explained the Gemara in Maseches Nida that tells us that when the baby's in the mother's womb, the baby learns Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Gemara says, he comes out to La'avir HaOlam, Ba Malach V'Satra Al-Piv, U'Meshach V'Kol HaTorah Kula. The Malach comes, smacks him on the mouth, and he makes him forget Kol HaTorah Kula. When I was growing up, they used to tell us that's what the indentation above the lip is. I don't know where that comes from. But the Gemara says, Malach comes, smacks him on the mouth, and he forgets Kol HaTorah Kula. So a simple question, why teach him Kol HaTorah Kula if you're going to make him forget it anyway? So says Rav Salvechik that the idea is it still helps create that sense of identity with Torah, and that is the source of the child's Kedusha, that even if he's going to forget everything, the Torah that he learns without Amel V'Yegia, of course he's going to forget. It's going to Ben Laila Haya, Ben Laila Avar Emen. Okay, it came in a day, it could be gone in a day. The fact that he's taught, though, is to leave its impression, that it, even if it goes in one ear, out the other, it leaves its mark that he is now defined, that he has this natural inclination toward Torah, and he's defined by the Torah. And that's how he explains what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Gerushin on the idea of Kof Nosach Yom Rotza Ani, that under certain circumstances, a husband doesn't want to give a get, and we force him until he says Rotza Ani. What do you mean Rotza Ani? He obviously doesn't want to. He's obviously only saying that he wants to because you're forcing him. No, the real Ani, somewhere deep down inside of him, wants to do it, the Rambam says. What does it mean, the real Ani, somewhere deep down inside of him? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. The real Ani, because he is ultimately identified by the Torah that he learned as an Uber B'meimo, he's ultimately bound up with an identity of Torah, with an identity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will always be there and is lying there beneath the surface. And based on that, Rav Soloveitchik said al pi derech drush, what they say in the name of the Gra, that the Gra was makbid, that during Simchas Torah hakafos, no one could stand on the bima. Because the minhag of our hakafos is based on the Gemara at the end of Tainis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asalavu is going to make a machul l'tzadikim, a dancing circle of tzadikim, and he's going to be Yoshev Beinayim beGan Eden. He's going to sit between them in Gan Eden, and everyone is going to point with their finger, because it says, V'amar b'yomu hinei elokeinu zeh. Whenever you have zeh, it's always lashon of mora be'etzba. So we're all going to be able to point with our finger. That's why we mention Ata Aresa on Simchas Torah. So we make those hakafos as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in the middle on the bima, and we're going around him. So it's not a kavod hashchina, says Rav Soloveitchik, that's what the Gra thought, to have a person standing on the bima in the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu really belongs. And Rav Soloveitchik said, the other 7 days of Sukkot, where we go around with our lulav, around the Sefer Torah, to try to demonstrate that it's only through the Shmiras HaMitzvos that are symbolized by the Dalet Aminim that we're carrying, that we could reach the Tachlis of Lima Torah. Because the Torah is not like other Chachmas. The Torah is the Chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hu v'chachmaso echad. You learn Torah, that is achieving an understanding on some level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's L'mayla min ha-teva, requires Siyata D'Shmaya. How does one achieve that Siyata D'Shmaya? By doing Hashem's mitzvahs. So the whole idea of a circle, whenever you have a circle, it means that everything on the circumference of the periphery of the circle is equidistant to the center of the circle. So that's always the way a circle works. And that's what we're symbolizing by HaKafos, that by observing the mitzvos, we can get to the tachlis that's in the middle of that circle, which is the Sefer Torah that's on the bima. And then on the eighth day, we show that we've achieved that. We take that Sefer Torah and we bring it out with us in the circle. We've achieved that tachlis with that Sefer Torah, and the point now is to achieve an ultimate closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the one sitting in the middle. And that's why the Malach teaches the Uber Shemayimo Kala Torah Kula, to implant in the child this natural love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah. And it's only through Limud HaTorah that a person comes to that true Avas Hashem, because the Torah is Chachmas Hashem, and again, Hu V'Chachmaso Echad. So that is some of the basis of the difference between Kedusha Tashmishei Kedusha versus Tashmishei Mitzvah. But Hashem, next time we'll get into what the Yisod of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash really is all about, how that also relates to Torah, and a number of inyanim relating to a Beis HaKnesses and the Menhagim that we have by a Beis HaKnesses. Okay.